Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Eddie Jackson, Bears safety.
Nothing easy, baby. You got to work, hard work. Like Tariq, he had a saying. He said, don't wish for it, work for it. So we going to work for it.
Interceptor of passes.
Rodgers, late pressure coming, throwing over the middle. It's broken up and intercepted in the end zone. Coming out with it, Eddie Jackson.
Scorer of touchdowns.
Here's the throw. He's picked off, and there he goes. Eddie Jackson to the house at the 10-5 end zone. Touchdown.
It's fun. You know, we're trying to bring that swagger back to the Bears.
Quarterbacks. Ooh, they hate him, but we love him.
Like Coach Nugget says, we're either getting better or getting worse. And right now, we got a saying, we're chasing greatness. We're not just saying it, we're actually coming in every day and improving it.
Eddie Jackson, every week with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Eddie Jackson, the Bears safety, joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Good morning, Eddie.
Good. I'm good. Good morning. How y'all doing?
So let me ask you, do you like this matchup? Just looking at the numbers and looking at the way the Giants have played, it looks like I believe they've given up 20 big plays to secondary members on the season, which seems like a lot.
Yeah, most definitely, man. It's just, you know, it's time for us to go out there and execute. You know, young quarterback. Got to stop the run. You know, they got a great running back. So we just got to come in and stop the run and, you know, let the quarterback, you know, make his mistakes and handle the ball in the back end.
You mentioned those mistakes. Daniel Jones has 17 turnovers in 8-plus games, Eddie. I have to think that in the back of your mind, maybe in the front of it, that sounds like an opportunity. How does that affect your mindset going in?
You just go in the game like, all right, look, you know, he going to throw the ball up. You know, you're going to have some chances and opportunities to create some turnovers, and you just got to go in there and just play your game, you know, stay on top of it, don't try to press, and like I said, you got to stop the run first. You know, we know they're gonna come out trying to run a ball on us, and the running and pass works together, so we stop the run, put the ball in his hands, we know we're gonna create some takeaways.
You had a forced fumble in that game against the Rams, and certainly you guys had an opportunity with the first possession and then the forced fumble on their first play, and that puts the offense in good stead, and then an interception, and it puts the offense in a good place, and you don't get any points out of it. How does that feel as a defensive player? Are you paying attention to what they're doing with that field position, that turnovers?
Not really. You know, a little bit, but like I've been saying, you know, our mindset is, look, if they don't score, they don't win, so we just got to continue to just keep our minds on that, you know, to go out there, execute, play sound football, attention to details, and things like that. And, you know, just try to continue to create more turnovers, you know, average 3 or 4 a game, and just giving them more opportunities to, you know, score the ball.
You know, Eddie, when you guys watch the tape from games, and obviously the Rams, they had a plan to run the football against you, and they were fairly successful doing so. The Saints did the same thing. What have been the issues that have been consistent problems in stopping the run, and how important is that against a guy like Saquon Barkley on Sunday?
You just got to take care of your gap, your assignment up front and things like that, you know. And it's going to be very important. I mean, Saquon, he's a good back, man, and the things he's been doing, you know, early in his career is crazy. And he actually rushed for 100 and some yards on us last year, so we know he's a shifty guy. He can do a lot of things, you know, run up the middle, bounce outside, cut in reverse field. So we just got to be ready to come in and be ready to tackle, you know, fill our gaps, you know, play sound football, you know, and be aggressive at point of attack.
When you talk about being able to play with a lead, you know, that makes a team throw. If you can get an early lead, you know, you had an opportunity in that game to get a 9-0 lead if you'd tried the second field goal that you went for it on 4th and 9. If you could get a lead like that, don't you force the team into throwing the football more, and doesn't that allow your pass rush to kind of get involved in the game more? I mean, situationally, is that one of the things that is slowing down the number of turnovers because you're not forcing teams to throw?
Yeah, kind of. That's just the facts about it. You know, if you up, you know, teams play calls are going to be different, you know, when they behind, you know. So right. When a team is up on you, you know, they run a ball. And, you know, so right now they just preaching, you know, run a ball. Let's not turn the ball over. You know, they up and, you know, kind of just, you know, trying to put it in the offensive hands and things like that. But we just got to go out there. Like, when we have chances, you know, everybody to the ball, you know, try to rip the ball out as much as possible. Or when they do take a shot deep, you know, we got to take advantage of those opportunities, the little ones that we do get in the back end to try to create turnovers and not give up big plays.
We're talking with Eddie Jackson. A big welcome to our new partners at Mercedes-Benz of Orland Park, who sponsor Eddie every Monday at 8 a.m. with us, Mullane Haw. And on Fridays at 5 with McNeil and Parkins, ordinarily. Make sure to listen to both segments live or on demand at 670thescore.com. So, Eddie, here we are 10 games in. How would you describe the communication level in the secondary with Buster Skrine, with HaHa Clinton Dix, guys who weren't here last year? Now you should be a second nature, and you see some big plays happen, and when they happen, you instantly think, okay, there must have been a coverage breakdown or a communication breakdown. How is that going?
It's going good. You know, it's still little things that, you know, just little trusting each other, you know, things like that you just gotta, you know, just trust each other and just have each other back. You know, the communication part is there. It's just little things, you know, all right, who's gonna be the aggressor and who's not, who's on top and who's underneath. Just little things like that, you know, that we just gotta continue to get better at. You know, we can talk about passing things when we see it. It just gotta, the trust level has just gotta get better, you know, and that right there starts in practice. And, you know, that's on us, you know, just to continue to communicate better and just knowing that we can trust and lean on one another.
You know, it's interesting because I think there was a big play there where Buster Skrine kind of blew a coverage, and you had come up on that play because, if I'm not wrong about this, your responsibility was to come up and to protect the middle of the field. You guys have done that before. But because you came up in the way you did as the guy was running by, it looked like you had bitten on a play fake, which wasn't the case. And yet, I think that was reported out of the game. Does that frustrate you?
Actually, that play was like my fault because we had him doubled. But like I said, it was just like communication part of, All right, I'm going to be the aggressor, you know, and you know, that was the confusion. Like Buster, me and Buster, he didn't know who was the aggressor on that one, you know, because we didn't really communicate well. So I was the aggressor, but you know, I supposed to play it a little different because he was standing underneath. So I came down, you know, trying to be aggressive, break on anything low, and I thought he was gonna have me over top. So it was like a miscommunication. So I took that one, you know, I took that. And I told him, look, man, that's on me, you know, like I supposed to have you right there. So I took that one. So that was on me, not Buster.
So you can't assume anything about any receiving core, Eddie, in the NFL. I mean, the Giants come in, and certainly they're 2-8, but they get Sterling Shepard back this Sunday, and Darius, you know, Slayton had a breakout game. Golden Tate is Golden Tate. How would you evaluate this receiving core and how dangerous they might be? Because you can't take anything for granted.
I mean, just like you said, you can't take anything for granted. You know, they're good, you know, especially Golden Tate, a vet who's been around a while and played against the Bears, you know, different times. So, you know, he's sneaky, you know, and he's one of those guys. He can do a lot of different things in the slot. You know, he's a strong runner. It's hard to tackle him. So you just got to be on top of the keys and just the chemistry that they're building right now with each other is kind of cool. And you just got to be on top of your keys, man. You know, we got to come in and approach this as, like, if it's Julio Jones, AB lined up in front of us, you know, if like it's the top receiver, we just got to come out and play our game no matter the name on the back of the jersey or what the record may say. It's just, you know, they still have good players and they still are capable of making plays. So for us, we just got to be on top of it.
When you play a game like that Rams game and, you know, you hold a team to 17 points, looking at what you guys have done in terms of scoring defense, it's been pretty impressive. Is the goal still hold a team to 17 or fewer points, which most NFL teams come into it with, or do you have to change it and try to hold them to fewer points?
I mean, the goal is still, you know, like I said, for us, it's if they don't score, they don't win, you know. But on paper, you know, the goal sheet is always, you know, 17 or less. But, you know, right now, you know, we really playing with, you know, a small space of error. You know, we don't want to, you know, let teams go up and score on us. Like I said, if a team can hold our offense to 0 points, we feel like we can hold their offense to 0 points too. So that's just for us, just continue to come out and pay attention to details. And like I said, just eliminate those one or two big plays that we're letting slip up right now. You know, we'll play a great game and you give up that one play or two plays that result into a, you know, a touchdown or a big game. We just got to continue to eliminate those and we'll be fine.
Talking with Eddie Jackson, and this Bears Friday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin's. Okay, so Eddie, before we let you go, where would you say this team's mindset is? Because, you know, it's been tough, and we talk about it all week on the radio because that's our job, to talk about it. Is there a lot of conversation about staying together, not to letting, you know, the adversity divide you? What's the conversation like in the locker room?
Oh, it's been what it's been all season. You know, just continue to fight, continue to stay together, rally around one another, and just, you know, fight for one another. And that's just simple as that. You know, it's like I said, it's either you're going to lay down or you're going to stand up. This is determines what is. We're going to have 6 games left or 7, 8 left. You know, that's just the mindset. So right now it's time for guys not to be selfish, you know, and eliminate all that me stuff, whatever it may, you know, because times like this, when it gets this tricky, you know, a lot of guys like to, you know, separate and step back from the team and, like, just focus, like, all right, look, I'm going to just do what I have to do, like, you know, take care of me. But, you know, just don't have that type of mindset and just continue to look like we're going to fight together, man. We in it together. We in it for one another. We're going to continue to fight with our back against the wall.
Eddie, thanks a ton. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Eddie. Good luck Sunday.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good one.
That's Eddie Jackson, the Bears safety.
Let's good stuff.
Do, yeah.
You know, pretty honest and
right.
Accountable.
And he's right. You know, when you see it, you know, when Joe Fortenbaugh asked us if this defense was staying together, what happens when players don't stay together is they have to worry about how they look, what they do. They're no longer playing within a scheme. They're trying to worry about their contract and about getting accolades, and they're maybe jumping routes, maybe doing things that are hurting a team. And we haven't really seen that yet.
We haven't seen it, but I think you have seen what we alluded to and he described. I mean, there's communication breakdowns.
No question.
At key moments, at bad moments. And they led to two big plays on Sunday against the Rams. One was, the Cooper Kupp touchdown.
Yeah. Screen thought that Eddie was going to – he had help deep. And Eddie thought screen was going to drop, and he was the
Eddie was a little more aggressive, as he pointed out. And you can't do that when you're, you know, it need to be deep as the deepest. And that he paid for that. And he was honest about it, acknowledging that.
It's all tough. Right. Great stuff. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the screen.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Jeff Joniak, the voice of your Chicago Bears.
Middle of the field from 48 yards out of the hole to Patrick O'Donnell. Scales will send it back. Snap and placement good. Eddie Pinheiro winds it up from 48 yards. The kick is no good. The Bears misfire on the opening drive. Flags are quiet on the post. This will be from 47. On the left hash, slight angle right. Snap and placement. Eddie Pinheiro's kick is up. It is no good from 47. And it is two missed field goals in that 40-yard range.
Twitter.com/Jeff Joniak.
Mitch throwing right side. Cohen to catch. At the one. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Near sideline. Bears around the board for the first time. Goff from center. Takes turns. Gives Malcolm Brown right up the middle of the field into the end zone for the touchdown. 16-7 Rams. Chase Daniel is coming into the ballgame with 3:24 to go in the game. Chase Daniel coming in for Mitch Trubisky. Let's go to Mark.
Yeah, no indication of any type of injury for Mitchell Trubisky. He's down here on the sidelines. He's kind of pacing around by himself. Has the baseball cap on.
A knee by Goff, and that'll do it. The Rams win it 17-7.
Jeff Joniak with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Jeff Joniak joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears have the 30th ranked offense in the NFL, and I was found it interesting to listen to Matt Nagy talk about that third and one play to the short side of the field, where he said on Wednesday that that's one of the calls that he didn't like and that he would like to get back. And then he kind of went into a longer explanation on Thursday, where he talked about how there's a field to play calling about the idea that you go through 90% of your game plan and you have plays ready. And that's one that they thought would work, and it just didn't, and it's one, therefore, that you want back. But it was a much longer and deeper explanation about how they go about their play calling. How much is play calling responsible for this, Jeff, or is it more just an inability to kind of execute the play that's called?
Well, I think everything is on the table with this offense right now, just because of its struggles. So, a lot of the bolts are loose on the engine at the moment. So it's not just one thing. And I just know he's been frustrated. We talked about it on the coach's show about play calling and how to get through this process this year, because you go through your script, and you haven't even gotten through your script in many games this year, your first 15, and those are stackable plays. Those are plays that, and anybody who's played the game or at the NFL level know that those are sometimes plays that set something up later in the game to set up a defense. So, sometimes they haven't got to that until the mid-second quarter. So those are first and second down plays. And, third down plays, those are your money downs. And, that's where your creativity comes into play often, and some of the things that has been called this year hasn't worked out, and the execution certainly has not been there consistently. And I think that's the biggest flaw right now is the inconsistent execution. They'll do it in starts and stops, but it hasn't been overall consistent. And there you have the numbers. The numbers are not good.
And that points to the quarterback. And I understand why they have confidence in Mitch and they're going back to him, because the backup might not be a better option. What I struggle to understand this week, Jeff, is, and sort of frustrating to watch, is there's tends to be they say the right things about Eddie Pinheiro. They say they believe in him, and then on 4th and 9 they go for it rather than try a field goal. He's missed four field goals in the last 8 games. Why is the well of patience deeper with Eddie Pinheiro than other positions on this team? Because if you truly mean what you say about accountability, I'm surprised he's still here.
I'm not surprised he's still here, Dave. It is 4 of the last 8 field goal tries he's had over the last 6 games. That means he's only had 8 kicks in 6 games. So he hasn't had many bites at the apple, so to speak. And I'm just wondering out loud, I don't have any expertise in this, if that's affected his rhythm by just not getting opportunities to do it. I know the extra points are what Chris Tabor calls long, short field goals or whatever, and he's missed a couple of those as well. But, the field goals are the ones that kill you. They take you and give up field position for the opposition to make plays, too, if you're going to miss from 48 and 47 yards like you did last week. I knew this was going to become a topic. because when we talked about this in September, I said, let's talk November and December about Eddie Pinheiro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a season-long process. And the way the things are going now, you got a young kicker that they're trying to mold. I think you're going to have to live with some of those growing pains as a young kicker. That's just how I feel about it.
It was very interesting. We talked to Dave Wanstead about it, and he basically said that if you felt like you were en route to a big playoff run, you'd probably want to get a guy that you felt could kick from 45 yards in. And if you if you're in the situation the Bears are in, and they still could technically make the playoffs, but you'd prefer to have the young kicker and try to develop them. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a heck of a point. I mean, that may be, you know, a part of this thinking. So and so, you know, I know it doesn't feel good when it happens, but, you know, they've seen some good things out of him, and they feel that he's got the right mindset and the belief in himself that this is not going to ruin him. But it is something to watch, you know, especially because it's a different scenario when you miss back kicks, and that's the delineation made this week by Nagy.
And that sounds a little like a concession, what Wani was saying, but I understand it as well, Jeff. So before we let you go, obviously Sunday, the Giants' defense stinks. They give up a lot of explosive plays. If you're Mitch Trubisky, it's a chance to get well. How aggressive do you think they will be in the passing game, Jeff? Because the horizontal stuff is not going to cut it. You really want to go deep against this defense.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely do. They give up the most 40-yard big pass plays, 50 plays of 20-plus. I mean, all the numbers you can keep. They give up the most 20-plus-yard touchdowns. They got 13 allowed. They got a young secondary in certain spots that being attacked. So that would be the logical thought process there. So I would expect some of that. Whether that'll happen, I don't know. These guys still have to get open, and that's part of the process here is that, and I've been saying this for weeks, it's not just the quarterback. And, you know, he's going to take all the brunt of it when things don't go well. But it's just, it's been everything. It's been everything. And there's been no continuity of consistency throughout the course of the entire season. So it is a team that, you know, I would expect from their standpoint, too, to keep doing the same thing that teams are doing to the Bears' defense. And that's, you know, I know he's not 100. Clearly biased production, but Saquon Barkley is a pretty good back to put back there and try to do what everybody else is doing and own the clock and shorten the game a bit.
Jeff, we'll let you go. Just curious on the way out, when we talk about the Giants and their problems, they're coming off a bye week. You know, the Bears didn't solve their problems over the bye week. Now, they had a much tougher opponent maybe with the New Orleans Saints coming in here, but do you is there a concern that the, you know, if the running back gets healthier, if they've resolved something here, that could end up, you know, just having the bye week, that could be a problem?
No, I mean, I think they've got some legitimate issues too. I mean, Daniel Jones is giving up the ball a ton, so yes. Unless that changes, you know, that's going to put them. But he's, I like him. You know, he's very, very impressive. He impressed us in the preseason game. When your running back gets 13 carries in 1 yard, that's a red flag that he's not right. The bye week can definitely fix that. But I think they have offensive line issues that are pretty acute on the edges. So, I mean, Nate Solder, who's battling concussion now, he's given up 16 and a half sacks in his last 26 games with the Giants, and Mike Remmers hasn't been a real solid at right tackle. So I think there are opportunities for the Bears to get their pass rush going if they get the opportunity. They didn't get much opportunity last week. And
I think Mack will have a better game.
Not out either.
Jeff, I think Mack will have a better game if Solder plays, because they've been leaving him kind of on an island. If Solder doesn't play and they have a bunch of these kind of slappy linemen, they may send the whole house at him. You know, they may chip him, get the tight end, get half the free world involved.
Listen, you got to unlock Khalil. So yes. There's got to be a way. You know, they'll put. If Engram's healthy and Ellison are healthy, they're both on the injury report, and they got a fourth tight end they brought in. So the guy Scott Simonson that they've had around, but they're going to try to do the same stuff. You're going to see double tight ends. You're going to see the chips. But, you know, is there a way to get him unlocked by moving him around? That would be my only thing.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Have a great weekend.
Good stuff.
That is Jeff Joniak on the call for the Bears.
13 carries, 1 yard for Saquon Barkley against the Jets. That's like 2.7 inches per carry.
I saw him talk about that, and he said that Barry Sanders, that happened one time in a playoff game against Green Bay, where he went 13 plays for 1 yard.
Didn't Walter, when it wasn't his first game as a Bear, didn't he have like 8 carries for 2 yards or something like that? I would have to check that.
I love, though, that the guy has to go look up a statistic that justifies his awful performance.
And that conversation with Jeff Joniak was brought to you by Duncan. Chicago runs on Duncan.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This week, Mully and Haw got you ready for the Bears' Week 12 matchup against the Giants with expert analysis from former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
Dave, are they going to win against the Giants? Is it finally?
Yeah, I think they win the next two. I really do.
It'll be 500.
Yeah, I think they can win the next two and get 500 and then go from there.
Radio.com Sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi.
I know you're dug in on Mitch Trubisky. Is there anything over the final six games that he can do to either change your mind about him or to change the narrative about his career?
I think the only thing that the six games can do is screw up the Bears. I mean, what happens if he plays good against a team that's out of it, right? What happens if that happens? To me, you have to judge him based on when the games are on the line, that Ram game. I mean, you've got to judge him and you've got to make a decision and you've got to move forward. I mean, they talked about it in The Sopranos. You have to make a timely decision, right? That's the creed of the mafia. Well, in the NFL, timely decisions are really important.
The Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs.
I've got the Bears winning this game 28-17, guys. I've got some hesitation to predict the Bears to score 28 points in four quarters of football, let alone maybe even six or seven. But the Giants' defense has been terrible. New York has allowed 27 points or more in 9 of its 10 games this season. That defense has just been steamrolled lately. Hopefully, the Bears can have some multiple 10-yard runs and some 20-yard passes, the type of which we don't see in these parts very often.
Where do you turn when you need help understanding kicking? Well, where else? The man himself, Kevin Butler, a champion with the Chicago Bears.
I think what you have is a rookie kicker who's trying to find his way. You're talking about a team that has had trouble getting down into that red zone, so the 5 field goals he's missed from 40 to 49 really come into play, and you really need to try to fix that somehow. You start guessing yourself at that position when you miss the first one left, and then you come back and you overcompensate and you push it to the right. That means there's a lot of things going on in his mind when he's up there kicking, you know, and you can't have that go on game day. That's kind of what Eddie's doing right now. I just tell him to be confident in himself and aim down the middle and hit every kick the same.
And Bears safety Eddie Jackson.
You can't take anything for granted. You know, they're good, you know, especially Golden Tate, a vet who's been around a while and played against the Bears, you know, different times. So, you know, he's sneaky, you know, and he's one of those guys. He can do a lot of different things in the slot. You know, he's a strong runner. It's hard to tackle him. So you just got to be on top of the keys and just the chemistry that they're building right now with each other is kind of cool. And you just got to be on top your keys, man. You know, we got to come in and approach this as like if it's Julio Jones, AB lined up in front of us, you know, if like it's the top receiver, we just got to come out and play our game no matter the name on the back of the jersey or what the record may say. It's just, you know, they still have good players and they still capable of making plays. So for us, we just got to be on top of it.
Can Coach Matt Nagy's crew turn things around with a win at Soldier Field? Mully, Haw, and your reaction to Bears Giants Monday morning, starting at 5 a.m.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Well, they better turn things around. They better win that game. That is by far the easiest opponent left on the schedule, and it should be a two-game winning streak. If you're really serious about getting into your season, get back to 500, win at Soldier Field on Sunday against a bad team that has been giving up the ball, and then come back on Thanksgiving and go into Detroit and beat a team you probably should have beaten when you had them here.
It won't get any easier than Sunday, the last noon home Sunday of the football season against a 2-8 Giants team. So the objectives are pretty clear for the Bears. I mean, going in against Saquon Barkley, injured or not, banged up or not, you need to stop the run, score some points, and change the subject, because the subject is right now on the Bears, the disappointing season and the quarterback who, you know, was replaced because of a hit pointer or because of performance. And you weren't able to tell the difference. He was bad before he got injured.
Great point.
Okay, bad. Matt Nagy said he put four good quarters together. I think that's optimistic. I think that's Pollyanna. You need to change the subject if you're Mitch Trubisky and the Bears, and this is a winnable football game, so win it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you beat Detroit. There's the last team you beat. You got to beat them again. You got to beat the Giants when they come in here with a, what are they, 2-8? I mean, that's a bad football team, and you got to show that you can win, and then the last four, you'll work at it, and hopefully you'll get some results, but get back to 500 before anything else goes on. I want to give a shout-out to my Ramblers. Loyola lost in the NCAA men's soccer tournament yesterday, lost down in Kentucky 2-1. They were winning that game 1-0. There was a real dodgy penalty kick given with about 7 minutes left, 8 minutes left. Terrible call. We need VAR, Kevin, in the NCAA tournament. But
they're ruining the game.
But Neil Jones, his team, had a fantastic season. And Loyola, how about this? I didn't know this till yesterday. One of just 16 schools in Division I soccer to get a men's and women's program into the NCAA tournament.
Did I know that? That's pretty good trivia. That's pretty good stuff. Feel bad for those seniors who lose a game, look back. It's the last one they'll play. And if they feel like they had, you know, a bad call had anything to do with it, that's unfortunate.
It was a great goal in overtime that beat them, the second overtime, but that call was just dodgy as hell. And, you know, again, I'm an alum, and I was cheering for him. All right. By the way, the Ramblers are heading down to the Cayman Islands, their basketball team. So I think they're playing the 25th, 26th, 27th. They come back to the United States of America.
With a tan.
And they go to Ball State December 3rd.
All right.
That will be a bloodletting.
That's a Tuesday night.
That will be the two of us.
Yeah. Wow.
Something will be.
You driving or am I driving or is Ben Rosen driving?
Yeah, we're going. Okay. We're going.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that matchup was coming up. You guys are
right around the corner.
Is there going to be a wager?
We're staying in Ben's extra bedroom.
Yeah, we're staying
bedroom.
In his dorm room.
Yeah, the bunk beds.
We're going to just double up on the bunk beds, and we're going to go college for one
night. Last time I was there, Ben produced the radio show for us. And
that's right.
Next time he's going to be the host. He doesn't know this yet, but it's going to be it's going to be catered as well. So that'll be a lot of fun.
We'll be sleeping in that
December 3rd. Looking ahead to that. And good week, good holiday plans for the Ramblers. And then the big story of the day, Molly, we came in here beaming about the White Sox making the richest signing in their history. Yasmani Grandal, the catcher that they wanted, the catcher they targeted, the one free agent they needed to bring everybody else after. He's the highest paid White Sox for now because he's got the 4-year, $73 million contract, which you think will pave the way for other pitchers and other free agents.
Yes, and we had a texter checked in, said it's been 24 hours. Let's go.
Let's go.
Where's the
come on, Rick?
Where's Zach Wheeler?
Wake
I thought
up.
We had agreed that the catcher brought the pitcher. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
All right.
He's the lure.
We'll go over all of the metrics. The porn metrics. I saw Dustin use the term earlier today. We'll do. Is that what you think it is?
We were talking to Dan and Connor next, and they have Grandal already in the Hall of Fame.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.